Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Connor Happer Show with Connor Happer and Josh Ottson. Let's get ready to rumble.
Licensing of the phrase "let's get ready to rumble" just over the last 7+ years internationally is grossed approximately close to $400 million in retail sales.
Really?
You guys look like, what do they look like, Jimmy?
Dorks. They look like a couple of dorks.
On 1620, The Zone.
Good morning and welcome in. Happy Monday. It is the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone and 1620thezone.com and not on the Varsity Network app. Not today.
Yeah.
Not today.
That thing.
What? It worked. It was good.
It did. It worked.
I listened to the mix all the way out to Denver on Thursday where they would just bounce around to multiple games. It was pretty good.
We had to dig for it for the Creighton game here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was buried in that app.
Or you could just listen to good old-fashioned terrestrial radio, as I would encourage a lot of people to do. If you can't, join us there. You could join us on the stream, 1620thezone.com, YouTube, 1620thezone TV. Good morning, everybody. This is this will be a fun show today. A lot going on. Plenty of audio from a lot of different places. Yes, I know for as when we talk about Creighton basketball, which, spoiler alert, we're going to have some Creighton basketball talk today. People will probably, you know, there's like a ticking time bomb sort of about to go off, and it's like, well, okay, we're going to talk about spring practice. People forget Matt Rhule talk today. Well, yes, we'll talk about that. And when you flip it the other way, we'll talk about spring practice. People will be like, hey, look, Creighton's in the Sweet 16. And I'll be like, yeah, I know. I was there. Took the red eye car last night on the way back in. It was a lovely evening drive last night. Clear skies. We rolled through the night, rolled into the driveway at about 4 o'clock. Clocked a few hours of sleep and came into work and, you know, cinch up the bootstraps. Let's ride, Josh.
What? Now, I've got some specifics about your drive here.
Yeah, great.
What?
I got a lot of different thoughts, so it'd be actually really good if you just asked me a bunch of questions.
What time did your alarm go off this morning?
8 a.m.
Okay, so you got to, let's call it 4 hours for math's sake.
If we're rounding, it's you round down a little bit. It was, you know, didn't get actually to sleep until probably a little bit closer to 4:30.
Okay.
But I was in my driveway at 4 o'clock this morning. I made great time. It was like Clark Griswold. We're making great time. Had a couple gas stops in there, grabbed some sour snacks, a couple Diet Cokes. And there was the point in the trip, in the road trip last night where I was, not necessarily in fear of like falling asleep or anything, but I just felt like I needed to sort of jolt myself awake. So I just turn on songs really, really loud and start singing them as loud as I can.
Yep.
That's a great move. I think it's worked about 100% of the time.
Tried and true.
Yeah. So that killed about an hour. And then you just sort of make your way through the rest of it. So yeah. What a weekend.
Worth it.
Yeah, man.
You seem like you're in good spirits. You seem like the energy's good. I was worried about that yesterday. Well, I gotta be ready for Connor. It's gonna be low energy. I need to be high energy.
He was I just thought so. They were a Friday Sunday, which sort of, you know, stinks a little bit because just for the travel piece of it. But if you're flying back today, if you're driving back today, it's no big deal whatsoever. Maybe you're having a nice, lovely breakfast at Denver Biscuit Co. this morning or something like that. If you're a Creighton fan, a lot of blue, by the way, in Denver over the weekend. But No, I mean, it was a Friday, Sunday, and I had a lot of options on the table. The trip getting out there was not so seamless for me.
I
spent a couple hours on Thursday in Sutherland, Nebraska. Little car trouble.
Little
car trouble. So shout out to the fine folks at Big D's in Sutherland.
Hell yes,
dude. I went to just quit. We don't, you know, this is usually the time of the crossover, but yeah. this is going to be the tales of the road trip, I guess. So I get gas and in North Platte, and all of a sudden, you know, I get this new car, and I get gas in North Platte, and all of a sudden when I get back on the interstate, my car doesn't let me like accelerate above 60 miles an hour. And it doesn't let me like go over like 3000 RPMs. I'm like, oh God. So I have a full blown freak out. I'm like, this is unbelievable. This is impossible. Can't figure out what's going on. Check engine light comes on. You know, I just figured it's a new car, so it thinks something's wrong with the check engine light on. So there's a governor on it or something like that. So I get off and I go to the nearest auto parts store in Sutherland, Nebraska, car parts store. And I go in there. I was like, hey, can you clear a check engine light? Do you have stuff that, you know, do you have the device that you can plug into the thing and it clears the check engine light? The guy's like, no, but they have it over at Big D's. And the same guy from the car parts store, when I went over to Big D's, was at Big D's. The same guy from the car parts store. I was like, this is amazing. You run two car stores. It's like covered. I was like, perfect name for the store, by the way, Big D's. So I pull in. It's like a little farmhouse, like auto shop or something like that. A bunch of beat up cars all sitting out in front of it. And the guy, you know, checks into it. He gives me some ideas of what it could be. I think I figured out that it was basically like the quality of gas that I put in the car. Not like, it's not like I put diesel in there or anything, but the car just didn't like it that I put in like E85 or something, like, you know, whatever the crappy water gas was. And that was one of the things he suggested to me. So it was a rough trip getting out there. But we powered through, had a lovely, lovely weekend, and absolutely, Josh. Yes, it was worth it.
What if they lost?
There was a lot of options on the table. I could have come back Saturday. You know, cause I had the women's basketball game on Sunday too. And I knew that there was a chance that I was going to miss that. So they had a backup on standby for me. And that ended up happening, and they ended up winning. Congratulations to the Nebraska women moving on in the, in the women's NIT, and they'll get a game this week against Kansas or Missouri. Not sure where or, you know, obviously who it'll be against yet, but there was that piece of it too. But so I could have came back on Saturday. I'm like, you know what, if they win, they beat NC State, like, I'm here. I can't leave. And then the game times come out on Friday night, and I'm like, yep, I kind of figured that was going to be the case.
You knew. You just knew it was going to be the late game.
It was the westernmost site, and I was hoping for like a two. I was hoping for a two. That way I could have done it pretty reasonably. Mm-hmm. Last night was slightly unreasonable, but we got through it. We got through the drive, and you know, Creighton's in a Sweet 16 for the second time in 3 years. So we have some audio from the locker room last night. Love, by the way, when NCAA tournament time rolls around, if you ever covered an NCAA, well, I don't know if anybody out there's covered an NCAA tournament, but it is a little bit different where, you know, after the game, after a cooling off period of five or so minutes, they, you know, the locker room's just open. You go in there and talk to whoever you want. They still take people down to the press conference. So we'll have a couple minutes from Ryan Kalkbrenner and Baylor Shireman post game immediately in the locker room. My one regret, they decorate the lock. Creighton had a really tiny locker room on Friday, like a really tiny auxiliary locker room. And then on.
Oh, yeah, because all the teams need a locker room.
Correct.
There's two.
There's two and then like some dressing rooms.
Yeah.
You know, so they had a dressing room on Friday. But last night they had what appeared to be, I assume, the visiting locker room when the Denver Nuggets, you know, host games there. So they decorate the locker room and they put you know, Creighton logos, March Madness logos, little bracket, you know, probably about this size, Josh, a foot, you know, in each direction. So they're tearing those off the wall last night, and I'm like, man, I want to get one of those. And I couldn't get my hands on one. But if there's any extra of those laying around and any Creighton people want to deliver those over to the zone, it would be a lovely accent.
It would.
It would be a lovely accent to our wall here.
We do need more stuff on the walls.
We need stuff on the wall. We have football technology from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We can get some more things. But
would you be here if they had lost?
If they had lost last night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I decided on Saturday, this show is really important. Like, this show in particular is really important because it's either, you know, sort of a euphoric, like, that was awesome, or, you know, there probably would have been a bit of a freak out if Creighton had lost last night. And the way that they played, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. They just didn't let him get him within arm's length for the majority of the game. 85-76, and for the people that were there, they sort of understand this. And maybe if you were watching on TV, you felt a little bit of this as well. Creighton extended that lead out to 18, I believe, at one point was their biggest lead. Yeah, 18-point lead with 5:54 to go after, I think Nembhard hit the three, and that kind of felt like the dagger on, you know, coming off of a Baylor turnover after Farabello, I think, had hit the previous three. And, you know, even at that moment, it's sort of chaotic in there, and there is a little bit of, like, belief from the Creighton fans allowing itself to seep out at this point. Like, yes, let's celebrate, let's high five, we did it. But even through that, and then as it became a little bit tighter in the last 2, 3, 4 minutes of the game, I felt that the sort of, you know, I don't know if it's the history of Creighton basketball, because they have the opportunity to sort of write their own script a little bit, because, you know, this program is a relatively new sort of quote unquote power, I guess, in college basketball. That might rub people the wrong way, but it's a really consistent program. It wins 20 games every year, but they didn't have the tournament success to back it up. And now 2 Sweet 16s in the last 3 years. And the first one, you could say, well, it was a bubble tournament, and they beat Ohio, and it was a fluke. So it just so happened to come together on a Sunday afternoon evening in Denver, where you are not the higher seeded team. You ended up being the favorite, by the way, in that game. You're not the higher seeded team, and it was the same team, or wearing the same uniforms and the same coach that drilled your favorite team of all time into oblivion by 39 years ago. And nobody on that team, I talked to a couple people after the game, a couple Creighton people after the game, like, nobody on the team, they don't carry that weight. None of the players carry that weight. They're all like 10 years old at the time, if that. And it's like, you know, that's not what they were thinking about last night. But I sensed it a little bit with Mac, and he mentioned it a couple times after the game and has talked about it. And I absolutely felt it with Creighton fans. I don't know about you guys. I was talking to a couple more people last night. Like, Creighton got up by 18, and they're up by, 9, 10, 11 with a couple minutes left, and they haven't missed a free throw all night. This should be the most comfortable lead of all time. It just didn't feel that way. It just didn't feel that way. And I think that was the past sort of, you know, coming out a little bit. And it was never, I never let go. I never let loose. And I think a lot of Creighton fans were this way too, until Baylor decided not to foul with 21 seconds left.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, it never really felt like, oh my God, can I allow myself to believe? Creighton missed their last 8 shots from the field, by the way.
I kept waiting. I had some stuff to do around the house Sunday night, getting ready for the week, and I was like, I can't start those chores yet, because Baylor's gonna make a run here. They're just going to, and it never happened.
We get this on the text line, by the way. Quick interjection. By the way, you could text us 402-951-1620. Call or text Keep me company. I don't know when this adrenaline's going to wear off, but it will at some point. Texture says the way Josh just took his headphones off, I thought he was going to throw up again. Josh, so he goes to answer the phone ring, and Josh, you know, very calmly, steadily takes his headphones off, just like he did the day he puked. So you have to realize, I mean, you have to understand that. And when people see that, they're going to be like, oh, man,
is this it? Is this it?
Is it happening again? But
as you said over the weekend on social media, people forget Josh threw up.
Creighton into the Sweet 16, where they will have a chance to get to the Elite Eight. And the team that they will face will not be Arizona, not be the team that beat them in the Maui final. It will be Princeton, who took down Arizona and Missouri over the weekend. Creighton is probably, you know, if you were to rank all the Sweet 16 teams, I don't know how high you would put Creighton, you know, and whether that's right or wrong. But you wouldn't put them in front of Alabama, obviously, who they're going to have to probably beat to get out of their region if they want to get to the Final Four. You know, Houston is another one seed that's still in the tournament. UCLA is a two seed that's still in the tournament. Gonzaga's had a lot of tournament experience. UConn, like, I don't, you would put Creighton in the middle of the pack if you were ranking all the Sweet 16 teams at best at this point. But if you look at our, and I don't have a line from our friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Gary said it was on the app, but I haven't seen, I'm looking online right now, just on the website, sportsbook.fanduel.com. You look at all these lines, and there's nothing greater than 6.5, which is Alabama or San Diego State. Creighton's going to be about double that. So Creighton, while they're going to have a really tough task to get to the Final Four and ultimately win this region, they will be a major favorite to get into the Elite Eight.
But, Connor,
people forget Princeton.
It will be a weasel win if they get in. If they advance to the Elite
Eight. That's true.
It will go down in the record books as a weasel win.
That's true. Was last night a weasel win? I mean,
a three seed.
That's what I'm saying. They beat the team that was in front of them, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Baylor's a three seed, yeah.
Just making sure.
Absolutely.
You know, and the same thing all still exists with this Creighton team. They are absolutely liable to, like, if you were grading their two games over the weekend, I thought they played probably like their, I don't know, what was the best grade you can give them for Friday? B minus?
Yeah.
B minus?
If you're very generously grading, I would say a B minus.
And
yeah.
By the way, if you get much worse than that in the NCAA tournament, you're losing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. You got to play well. So, you know, they played their B minus game, obviously only made three threes, but hit shots when they needed to, and, you know, did pretty well for the majority of the part of the defensive end with Taquavion Smith, who was, I mean, the star of Denver on Friday afternoon. I mean, I was talking to Robbie about this on the postgame show, but there was a lot of Creighton fans in the building, and then there was a lot of neutral fans, a lot of people wearing St. Patrick's Day green on Friday, just in the arena. By the way, it was full for every game.
Oh, great.
It was full for every game. I don't know how that looked elsewhere. I can't imagine it was like that.
I don't think anybody went to go see a game in Birmingham this week.
Nope. Except for Auburn fans, I guess. Auburn and Alabama fans. So it was full. So great job by the people of Denver to fill that thing up. And then, of course, there was a bunch of Creighton fans as well. But how it usually works, I mean, there's a lot of Creighton fans. Creighton was the best represented team in Denver. And we kind of sort of thought that going in. And then you have your neutral people who are just there to watch basketball, watch NCAA tournament games. Denver is a little bit like a major version of Omaha. They support big events and stuff like that. So Denver showed out for that. So you have a lot of neutral people. And I think I got the sense that there was a lot of them that were sort of on Creighton's side in the NC State game. And then as Taquavion Smith started to do his thing, they sort of turned a little bit. It's like, I just want to see this guy get buckets.
Like, hey, this guy's giving us something.
I want to see this guy score as many points as you'll let him. And he ended up scoring, what, 30, 32 or something like that on 27 shots. So, I don't know. Creighton might take that. But so that was like a B-minus game for them. If you were grading, you know, like you said, on a little bit of a curve. And They played, I don't know if it was A-plus last night, but that's about as good as you, almost as good as you can ask. I don't know if it was their best performance of the season, but it was within the probably top three, four, five handful of best performances of the season. And they did it when they needed to. They've had these really, you know, they've set up for these really big games, you know, the Villanova game in the conference tournament and the Big East tournament, where it's like, man, I feel like they really need a really good performance today. And they've sort of answered the bell. They've answered the bell on those things. So I know we talked about last week how you can't trust them, and that thing is still there. But it does feel like this team has that thing where they can rise to the occasion. And they rose to the occasion last night, led by Ryan Nimhart. I will say, as far as the stress levels, when you are 22 of 22 on free throws trying to close out a team that could really get cooking on offense, the second-best offense in the country, according to KenPom, you know, that's what keeps them at arm's length. And they kept them at arm's length for the entire game last night. I mean, it was a pretty special performance to be able to go above and beyond and make threes the way they did, which, what, Josh, 11 of them? 11 threes.
Yeah.
You got great stuff from, like, Farabello off the bench. You know, they weren't afraid to go to the bench in those times. But, you know, and then Ryan Nimhart was unbelievable. I wondered how that would look with him and Cryer. And, you know, Cryer had 32. He certainly wasn't bad, and he could really get cooking in a hurry. But Nimhart control, talking about this in the pregame show with Ravi, those guards and how they sort of control the pace and tempo and just the overall feel of the game. Nimhart had to be, he didn't have to be 30 points good, but those guys operating with the basketball could not turn the ball over last night. Four combined turnovers from Ryan Nimhart and Trey Alexander. They had 14 for the game, which is maybe a little higher than you'd like to see him, but they turned Baylor over 21 times. Baylor tried to get back into it, and they would have some really dumb, stupid turnovers. And maybe that's a little bit them, and maybe that's a little bit what Creighton was sort of doing to them. But I thought they played their A game last night. So can you find another combination this weekend where maybe you don't have to play your A game to beat Princeton and you have that little thing in your back pocket, but maybe you can have a similar setup for the Jays this weekend where you play a B game and you're able to get through and you win and go to the Elite Eight. And then you'll need your A to beat Alabama or San Diego State. You know, obviously, I sort of like Alabama in that game. But, you know, you'll need your A game to get to the Final Four as well. And life comes at you pretty fast, right, Josh? Because, I mean, the topic on the show when we left you on Wednesday was what does success look like? What does this weekend look like? How many games do they have to win? And a lot of people said two. They got two, and it's not like, oh, everything's great now. It's all just gravy, because you really think they can advance beyond that. And I think this team, you know, has the makeup to do so. And if they can put it together with shot making, then they're really, really going to have a chance. So, yeah. Pretty good. Pretty fun. Pretty fun last night.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun watching them play well and just get the job done. And you could tell Friday there was a little first game, not jitters, but you're playing tight. Just and then you check that first box and okay, we're rolling downhill now. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
We got our feet under us. We can advance.
I talked to I talked with a couple people about this after the Friday game and into Saturday. But what I just talked about with the Creighton fan base and sort of in the crowd and the lack of tournament success, you know, sort of emotionally pouring out of you at times, like, man, we got to get over this hump. And you can recall several specific instances where Creighton was either the favorite or they felt like they had a really good team going into the tournament, and then you got into a tournament setting with various teams before this one. And it just felt like if Creighton wasn't able to do the thing that they set out to do, which is usually, you know, shoot threes at a pretty high rate, you know, on some teams before these last couple, that things just got really, really tight for them, really, really fast. And so, you know, I think I asked Mac about it on Friday, like, and he was like, I think they're too loose at times. But I just sense that sort of looseness for them. The sense from especially the guys and the confidence exuding out of them in that starting five, there is a sense that they belong. And, you know, it's not a, you know, they're a six seed, so it's not a Cinderella story or anything like that. But they were a preseason like Final Four pick, and so there's a reason why they never lost confidence in themselves going through a losing streak and all that. And I think a little bit of that is overblown because this is sort of what they were supposed to be anyway. But regardless, I sense that real confidence and the feeling of they feel like they belong, and they weren't surprised at what happened last night. And I don't think a lot of people were, but until you see it happen, until you watch it go in, if you're a Creighton fan, you're not prepared for how to necessarily deal with it. So you're on to the next thing, and you can't overlook Princeton, obviously, because they beat a couple good teams and over a 2 day, a 3 day stretch. But you know, they feel like they belong in this position. And that's like in the tournament, that's a lot of the battle. That is a lot of the battle, and not having things tighten up on you. And some of that is just, you know, you compare this team to 9 years ago when they got beat by 30 by Baylor in that exact game, even though the seeds were flipped. You compare this team to that team, and some of it is just like athletic profile. Like you can do things now. You can win games in different ways in Creighton basketball circa 2023 in ways that you just couldn't win games in 2014 with that team. And as fun as that team was, and as much of an offensive juggernaut as they were at times, they couldn't win games in a variety of ways. I don't know how many ugly wins they had that season. Creighton's had a bunch of them now. And last night obviously wasn't one of them, but so some of it is just athletics profile, and the type of players that you have on your roster. And some of it is, belief and what you were sort of expected to be. And I still hear people last night after watching all of the basketball this entire weekend saying they probably have one of the best, if not the best starting five in the country. And, you know, and if the tournament is a guard tournament, what have Trey Alexander and Ryan Nembhard showed you in the last 3 days? A lot. A lot. Trey's as steady as ever, man.
You just don't
want
to...
Do I want him shooting 10-footers floating away from the basket, you know, when it feels like Creighton needs a bucket? Yes, I do. And that's amazing. Like, right? I mean, that's not a thing you would normally say. But, you know, there's a trust, I think, in that guy from all of his teammates and the people around him.
You're just glad that they got there and the moment wasn't too big for them. And they played the way we know they're capable of playing, because we've seen it go the other way for them so many years past.
Let's go to Weasel Win here. Equitable Bank inbox. You can email into the show, Connor at 1620thezone.com. I'd encourage you to do so all show long. Also, you can comment on our YouTube stream, where Max, by the way, says Creighton's favorite is 9 by 9.5 on the FanDuel app right now. Yeah, ooh. I pulled up the app. I didn't see it on the website yet. But back to the email from John, and then we got one from Bullet Point Bob. John, Weasel Win, Creighton shouldn't even want to play Princeton. They are a lower seed. They should be mad they aren't playing Arizona. I feel like if you're not having to play a two seed, and you're a six in the Elite Eight, it's not even, or to get to the Elite Eight, it's not even worth it.
Shouldn't even count. Gotta play the two.
Okay, here's Bullet Point Bob. I haven't read this yet, but I'm just going to automatically read it because of the Weasel. He came up with the idea of the Weasel Win.
Yeah, he coined the term.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good bit, actually. Nice win over Baylor. Creighton was on fire. Let's clear up a Weasel Win. Beating Princeton is not and cannot be a Weasel Win. You play the team that advances, and Princeton deserves to be there. A Weasel Win takes place when you root for the crappy team to win so you can play them. You are rooting for the Weasel Win so you can get a Weasel Win. Well, let's stop there real quick. You know, Creighton had to get through Baylor, but don't tell me you weren't looking at that as a Creighton fan when Princeton won over Missouri and you're like, Creighton gets the winner of this game if they can win. Come on. Did you? I did.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Princeton. Says Princeton.
I didn't even write the Princeton beat writer's name on my piece of paper when I left the office on Friday. I wrote every team's guy down.
We're prepared for that one.
So I could call him Sunday, and I'm like, oh, one guy didn't.
Okay. I had Arizona in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Maybe in the national championship game.
I had him winning it all.
Nice. RIP brackets.
Yeah.
That's the best part, too. It's like nobody, by the end of the weekend, nobody actually cares about their brackets anymore. Mm-hmm. Bullet point Bob continues. Princeton earned their spot, and it is March Madness. Things happen every year. Teams catch fire. Beating Princeton will be a win that advances Creighton to the Elite Eight. Nothing weasel about that. Wow.
Okay.
Respect. Now, there is something weaselly about going on with Creighton that has been taking place for three games now. Remember McDermott in the huddle against Xavier telling his players to just fall down to help to handle Xavier's screens and try to draw fouls? Well, Kalkbrenner has intentionally fallen down four times, once against NC State and three times against Baylor, to try and draw cheap fouls. He was successful three out of the four times. He threw himself onto the floor. Is that Kalkbrenner just deciding to play like that as opposed to actually playing tough defense and going after tough rebounds? Did Mac encourage him to do that? Who knows? But it looks, smells, and acts pretty weaselly.
Oh. Well, they did. You didn't see this because you were in the arena, but on the TV broadcast last night,
I was on that too.
You were on that. It was great. They did say that Kalkbrenner should win an acting award for one of those.
Yeah, I think that's part of the game.
Yeah.
I will say that Kalkbrenner is, you know, he's 7 feet tall. So I've never been 7 feet tall. So I don't know if it's easier or harder to fall down when you're 7 feet tall. Do you think it would be easier or harder to fall down when you're 7 feet tall?
I would guess harder, actually.
Okay. So, yeah, it seems maybe a little bit odd that he finds himself on the ground quite a bit. But he takes a beating in there, man. And the way that he's able to not foul and then draw fouls, it's pretty impressive. But, yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. You're trying to get foul calls. I thought for sure that the one where he was laying on the ground and the guy stepped on him last night, they ended up calling that on the other guy. I thought for sure they were calling it on him.
I thought,
because he had his sort of arms and legs up in the air, and I don't know, it wasn't like an intentional trip or anything like that, but there was obviously he's trying to protect himself a little bit.
I thought that was going to be a turning point of the game. I was like, oh, here we go. He's got, what was that, his third or his fourth?
That was his fourth.
Yeah, and I was
It would have been his fourth.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, ooh.
And then he picked up his fourth anyway. Mm-hmm. Ravi tweets in, he says, that was 1,000,000% rooting for Princeton. Zero regrets. Yeah. Cody texts in, shouldn't Creighton be sad they're playing Princeton, not Arizona? Weasel wins. Okay, the weasel win thing is really taking off.
It's a great term.
Chris in Montana, this is just nitpicking, but even with the lead, I was nervous when Baylor Scheiberman was still launching threes with over 20 seconds left in the shot clock with 2.5 minutes left or something like that. Hopefully you learned a little bit of a lesson there. No. No lesson learned. No lesson learned, Chris.
That's his MO.
How long have I been saying this on this show? You take the bad with the good from Baylor Scheiberman and Arthur Kaluma, because with, you know, when they shoot the way they do and as big of, first of all, it's not just a black and white, like, made shot, missed shot thing. You have to understand what the threat of being able to shoot the basketball at a high rate does to an opponent's psyche and, you know, a threat level, right? If this guy is always a threat to shoot a three, guess what? Everybody's going to be a little bit closer. And you have to, like, that affects, you know, Creighton's all about space and they want to get guys open. That affects other players in a positive way. So it's not just black and white, making, missing threes. But yeah, there are times where Baylor can do some things, and he does have the eternal green light for sure. But I think that's baked into the cake, I guess, if you will, of the success of this Creighton team. That it just is, like, you have to, and him and Kaluma, they're going to make some mistakes, and they're going to make some maybe ill-advised plays. Everybody does it, right? Not just to single those two out, but those two have a really, really high ceiling. And when they can get cooking, they can really take over a game. And guess what? Baylor Shireman hit the one dagger three and the other long two on Friday against NC State. If he doesn't have the eternal green light, then he pulls those out, and who knows what happens. So you take the bad with the good, because the ceiling is exponentially higher for Creighton with Baylor Shireman on the floor. I mean, it just is. And I know what the stats say, but I'm telling you, it's not just a black and white made shot, missed shot thing here, guys. It's like we got to see it for a little bit more than that. A little bit of nuance, as Steve Sippel would say. It's a nuance conversation. Nuance.
Had a caller pose an intriguing question.
Is it about weasel wins?
It is. He didn't have time to hang on and ask it himself, but I'll ask it for him. Would Purdue like a weasel win?
Oh, Purdue. I actually have a take about Purdue. I don't know if it zags a little bit from the rhetoric on
You've
them.
You've been zagging lately. What is this? Is this a new Connor Happer?
I like to zag.
Okay.
I like to zag. We will have plenty of time to discuss the aforementioned Purdue Boilermakers during the show today. Because, yeah, not great. Nope, not great.
In hindsight, maybe should have saw it coming.
Yeah, there was definitely some warning signs over the last couple weeks. There was some movement, potential movement that may be finalized today in the Big East coaching landscape.
Oh, yeah.
Major moves. We have about reached that week, I think, for college basketball. Remember, the week after college football season ends, everything starts moving. People get fired. People move jobs. There will be a couple surprises, but there might be a Big East to Big East mover in Ed Cooley from – respect Ed Cooley, by the way, Josh.
Oh, yeah, respect to his agent today, too.
Who reportedly is getting big-time money thrown at him from Georgetown in the neighborhood of – excuse me, what was that? $6 million?
Oh, my. Respect to Ed Cooley's agents.
Okay, yep. I just wanted to make sure I heard that right. $6 million. Okay. And Rick Pitino, even though he doesn't know where St. John's campus is, as if that's an excuse for you to not take a job, that seems like it is getting closer and closer. Rick Pitino to St. John's. We'll have a little bit more movement this week. It's sort of silly season for college basketball, which is fun. And yes, we will hear from Matt Rhule as well, as Nebraska opens spring ball today, and it's a rebirth for everybody. Rebirth for everybody. Everybody's got a new lease on life, and first impressions are important. So when you hear a couple guys that are not with the team because they are suspended from it right now, that's not a good first impression. Not a good first impression. All right, I have plenty more from Creighton. We'll hear from, we have, Josh, I've waited forever to say this, exclusive audio.
Oh.
Exclusive locker room audio from Ryan Kalkbrenner and Baylor Shireman throughout the show immediately after the game ended last night. So we'll have that. Ravi will join us at 11:30. We'll talk about the Jays with him. No shade for today. And Sam McEwen will join us to talk about Husker football practice in the 1 o'clock hour. The lineup is powered by the Rooferies at John Higgins Weather Guard. We will come back with more next on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.